mental illness is epidemic in America, and the problem is spreading worldwide. It's time for decisive action, because the battle for the mind is part of a much larger war being waged between good and evil, with you as the prize. Welcome to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings. On this program, we'll uncover Bible-based weapons for fighting destructive feelings and resolving inner conflicts. Dr. Jennings wants to arm you with the tools necessary for achieving emotional and mental stability as you strengthen your relationship with God. I'm your Simple Solutions host, Charles Mills.
Welcome to the program. So glad you have tuned in. There's something just invigorating about spring and early summer. The birds are singing, the bees are buzzing, and farmers and gardeners everywhere are doing something absolutely vital to brain health. They're preparing the most powerful medicines available to the human race. Today we talk about our brains and the fuel we're using to run them. Our guest has been sent to us by Dr. Jennings. Her name is Pam Kelly, registered dietitian and nutrition therapist, headquartered in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Pam, when you drive your car past a farmer's field where this year's crop of fruits and vegetables are growing, what do you wish everyone knew about what you're seeing out there?
Well, the first thing, I wish everyone had the opportunity to pay attention to these wonderful foods that are available in the spring and summer months, and to realize that food is all about fuel. It's all about nourishing our bodies, and the availability of fresh foods that we have is tremendous if people would, you know, take a little effort and a little time to explore those foods.
Pam, it's interesting to note, and I've talked to you about this before, make the case again for our listeners today, that the Creator God did not just haphazardly throw foods out there to grow, that they actually have something to do with the seasons as they pass by?
It's just fascinating. You know, our body's full of mysteries from God, and so many gifts are available to us, and it's really fun to think about the way the seasons impact the food choices that we need to be making. For instance, what do you think of when you think of springtime for the most part, Charles?
I think of allergies.
Allergies.
I think of pollen in the air.
Okay. And you can think about dust, and that might make you think about spring cleaning and everyone sort of rejuvenated. When you think about the foods that are available during the spring and the early summer months, you think of the fresh, bright greens and real high water content, real light vegetables that come in, the asparagus and celery and parsley and basil and just all of these wonderful fresh light green foods. Those actually help build our immune system to fight allergies, and they also help detox our bodies, sort of like a spring cleaning would be. So eating spinach and collards and all the greens in spring and summer is just a wonderful, perfect thing that God put in place for us.
Now, before we go any further, Pam, I have to ask this. Some people are listening to you and say, well, okay, I'm going to add spinach to my diet once a week. Will that do it? Will the spring cleaning happen when you add a handful of spinach to your meal on Thursday afternoon?
Well, I'd say it's a nice start. But the truth of the matter is we need to take that to another level. There's so many different ways to add those vegetables in. So since you said spinach, let's take that for example. You could take spinach and mix it with scrambled eggs or egg whites. You could put spinach in a salad. You can put spinach in a pasta dish. You can take that spinach and use it as lettuce leaves in a sandwich. There's so many different ways to use that particular product that you'd be able to have 5, 6, 7 servings in a week of spinach, and that would be ideal.
Okay. So it really needs to be, as we move from season to season, we need to really take advantage of these foods often and put them in more than one meal a week, right?
Absolutely. And you know, a lot of people say that they don't like vegetables, that they're bitter to them and they don't enjoy them and they feel somewhat punished by eating vegetables. But the truth of the matter is, like all things in our lives, we're not supposed to be driven by the principle of pleasure. That we have to look at things in the overall picture of what opportunities are being offered to us by eating these healthy, wonderful foods.
Okay, all right. Yeah, it's strange because some people will say, oh, I don't like that, I'm not going to eat it. But yet they'll take the most awful tasting medicines. They will take the absolute worst tasting potions the doctor prescribes to them, and they say, well, that's because it's good for me. Well, folks, you know, just in case collard greens aren't your cup of tea, I don't know. Have you ever made tea out of collard greens? I don't know. Collard greens are not your cup of tea. Doesn't mean you shouldn't take them. You should absolutely enjoy them and figure out a way of making them so they're tasty. Okay, we've got the immune system on the run. We are building our immune system. Spring is here. We're doing spring cleaning. We're detoxifying. When a person detoxifies, Pam, what can they expect to feel like as it happens?
Well, sometimes people feel a little worse for the first 2 or 3 days when they start eating a more plant-based diet and more fresh fruits and vegetables. And then about day 2 or day 3, they feel more energized and have a sense of clarity. I believe with all my heart that if people really paid attention to what they put in their mouth and what they were doing and realized that food is all about fuel, it's all about making us feel good, I think it would be easier for them to maybe swallow some spinach or some collard greens that they're not that crazy about. And then overall, usually we see higher energy, more clarity, and possibly some weight loss if that was something that they needed to address as well.
What exactly is being detoxified? What poisons are we removing and where do they come from?
Well, it's kind of interesting. Detox is sort of a popular habit that's going on. And really, yes, our body is developed with the most amazing detoxifying system called the liver. And it does the job for us that we need to have done. And if you drink water and, you know, you try to pay attention to eating whole foods, your liver will do the job for you just fine, along with eating the whole grains and the vegetables and fiber that we're talking about. But as far as like using some of the over-the-counter medicines that are like detox teas and that mm-hmm. that's not what we're talking about here. We're really talking about using your food to detox your system.
In other words, let the body do it naturally.
Let the body do it natural, the way that it was designed to do. It's a miracle, our body, and it really doesn't need that much help from us if we just put the right things in it.
We tend to get in the way of what our body wants to do naturally,
don't we?
We
do. Okay. We really do.
Okay, well, we are now detoxed. We have our immune system firing on all cylinders, and we move from spring into summer. What can we look forward to and look for in summertime?
Well, it's kind of fun. If you think about it, the seasons kind of form the natural backdrop of our eating pattern. So as spring, we go into the real light green and real light leafy vegetables. Summer, we start getting into more colorful vegetables and abundance of different type of grains. And that's when mint and berry and tomatoes and lots of different types of fruits are available. And interestingly, those provide more sugars, and it's in those summer months when we're hot that we need a little bit more energy. We need more water-based foods, and we need more sugar to help us. We're awake for longer periods of time and usually involved in more outdoor activities. And those are the foods that are available to give us those energies.
Are you talking carbohydrates here?
I am. I am talking carbohydrates. So fruits and vegetables and an abundance of colors and those whole grains, the wheats and the wheat berries and all of those that are available in those summer months. And wait till I tell you about fall.
Pam, I gotta stop you right now.
Okay.
I thought we're supposed to be low carb here. What's going on?
No, you know, it's just like all the other myths that are out there. We have a tendency to hear a few words on a subject and take it to the extreme. Carbohydrate is the natural form of energy that our body uses. It's what our brain is operating on. It's the number one fuel that our body uses so efficiently. The problem is there's a big difference between whole wheat grains and whole wheat rice than having, you know, potato chips and white bread. So that's the difference. There is a difference in the type of grains that we take in. The barley and the quinoa, I mean, the opportunities to pull in some of these fresh grains in the summer months is kind of exciting. And they're, you know, they're cooling foods. And it's in a hot environment.
If we go low carb, we're throwing the baby out with the bathwater then, apparently.
We are. And there's certainly circumstances, as with diabetes, where people have to be careful about the amount of carbohydrate that they eat. But but it's still the number one fuel source in the human body. So again, you know, it's the amount and the type that we have to look at. In that backdrop, I mean, if you think about how exciting it is from spring to summer, you know, all the plethora of freshness that's available nationwide, even in interesting things about the food supply that's in England in their spring and summer, they do the same things we do, just encouraging their residents to eat this way.
All right. Well, now comes one of my favorite seasons. I have to say autumn, when the leaves are turning and the air is crisp. I love autumn. What should we be looking for locally from our grocers and from our gardeners in the autumn?
Well, it's interesting. In the autumn is when we start looking at building our immune system back up, because that's when the days become a little shorter and we're more confined, and there's a tendency for some of the colds and flus to start to develop. And so some of the more warming foods are appropriate, like sweet potatoes and carrots, potatoes, seeds and nuts. And then, you know, if you're not vegetarian, more meat product in the fall and winter months than you would have in the summer. And there's an inclination to do that. You know, I don't think we're drawn as much to eat cold salad in September and October as we are in the spring and the summer.
Okay. All right. I don't know about you. I don't know how your winter was the last winter. Let's just say in West Virginia, where I live, the last winter we had was pretty severe. Nothing was growing. Nothing was moving. Nothing was getting out of their house. How do we stay healthy, and what kind of foods do we choose if we get to the grocery store during those cold winter months?
Well, you know, cold winter months hit us all, and it was a very difficult winter for a lot of people this year. I agree with you, Charles.
Yeah.
So the thing to think about winter, if you even look at a garden in wintertime, it's brown and it's barren and there's not a lot happening. And so that's where a lot of the tubers and the underground things are important, like pumpkin and again, potatoes that can be stored, and sweet potatoes. And those things have more energy in them or more calories. Therefore, they provide more heat. And in the wintertime, that's when we kind of slow down more and have a tendency to perhaps store a little bit more fat to get us through the wintertime. So garlic and nuts, corn, you know, all of the things that have a little bit more heat to them are the ones that we look at in wintertime. And the longer it takes to grow, the more warm the plant is. So like potatoes take a long time to grow. Corn takes a long time to grow. And of course, animals, if you're eating animal flesh, of course, that takes a long time to grow. So winter foods are completely different than summer foods. So encourage our listeners to think, you know, maybe this time of year they could freeze and can and put up some of the green beans and tomatoes and the wonderful things we have. But then consider that, you know, in season, we should be eating the things that are close to our particular environment, you know, which means, you know, maybe not eating tomatoes in the wintertime unless you've canned them. They don't usually taste that good anyway.
That's true. That's true. And of course, from a strict environmental, that tomato may come from like Costa Rica or from Argentina someplace, and that's a pretty big carbon footprint to eat that tomato in January. So you might want to think about that as well.
Charles, I'm so glad you brought that up, because when you talk about big production and you talk about the big national farms that are owned by major corporations, they really do have to think about the sturdiness of the plant more than, you know, the nutrient value. So we can talk about that some more.
I think we should. We have a break coming up. We're talking with Pam Kelly, registered dietitian and nutrition therapist, and we're talking about you, listener, and your health year-round as you look to food to be your main source of medicine. You are your primary care physician, listener, and we're helping you find the right prescription for your life. We'll do more when we get back, so stay tuned.
Here's your Daily Heartbeat with Dr. James Markham. One of the neat things about the Bible is it gives you millions, well, tons of ways to change your body's chemistry. Did you know that the Bible is filled with wonderful ways that we can change our chemistry? Now, would you rather take a prescription medication or do something from the Bible to help you feel better? I would choose to follow the owner's manual. This is the way we can best get our chemistry the way God intended. If you jumped off a building, things would break. Likewise, if we don't follow the laws God's given us, our chemistry changes. We're not following the owner's manual. When this happens day in and day out, we become diseased and sick. So in Heartbeat, I want us to follow the biblical prescriptions to change our chemistry.
Thank you, Dr. Markham. If you'd like more information, go to HeartWiseMinistries.org. That's HeartWiseMinistries.org.
We live in a fast-paced, stressed-out world. Is there any way to escape life's intense pressure? Hi, this is Charles Mills, and I'd like to offer you some hope. From my office, I can look out and see the deep blue of the sky and the rich greens of the plants and trees. Scientists tell us that these colors foster a sense of peace and tranquility. Isn't it amazing that God would create the world with a built-in stress reliever for our troubled minds? In a similar way, our wise Creator has designed a spiritual refuge for us. It's found in taking time each day to immerse ourselves in His Word. I'd like to offer you a free series of Bible study lessons that can help you establish a pattern of daily Bible study. It's called Discover, and you can receive the first of these beautiful lessons by calling 800-775-4673. Color your world with messages of hope, peace, and assurance. Ask for Discover when you call 800-775-4673.
Welcome back to Simple Solutions. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We have a special guest with us today. Pam Kelly is a registered dietitian and nutrition therapist, and she's talking seasonal food today. And it's amazing, Pam, how the Creator God made for us just the food we need when we need it. And it's just amazing. We were talking before the break about some of the environmental issues, and I know this is near and dear to your heart because you really have a passion for people bypassing environmental issues and buying locally, am I right?
That's the truth. On so many different levels, but I think most people find that seasonality is really about the pursuit of flavor, because when you buy things from the corner or from, the farmer's market, or even, a family that has a sign outside on the side of their porch, when they've got the fresh tomatoes or whatever in, when we support those people, we are getting food at its natural, absolute best nutrient value. And so, even the argument sometimes that fresh food sometimes is more expensive, you find that you need less of it when you eat things that have a high nutrient content to it.
Interesting.
So when you think about some of the larger food manufacturers where they do production and great product line, they really do have to think about the sturdiness and how it can ship and transport. And that has to be their number one priority. It may not be the pursuit of flavor. That green pepper or red pepper or spinach that you get from a local farmer within, say, 60, 75 miles of where you live is always going to be better than the one that came 1,500 miles from somewhere else.
Yeah, all right. I have never thought about that, that really the people in these countries far, far away really are not as concerned about nutrition. They want longevity. And sometimes a plant that lasts a long time does not taste as good
as
a plant that lasts a short period of time. Am I right?
That's right. Once it's picked, it starts losing its nutrient value fairly quickly. And that's why sometimes, buying something frozen in season even, it is not a bad idea, because it's usually frozen pretty rapidly as opposed to something that's been transported for a long period of time, shipping around from one country to another.
Yes. Mm-hmm. My. I tell you what, my wife and I certainly can agree with what you're saying. One of the things we enjoy most about summer is my wife's garden, and she'll say to me, honey, go out and get a tomato for dinner, and I'll go out there and pick the tomato. There's about a 30-foot commute from the garden to the house, and she slices it up and puts it, and it is still warm from the sun when we put it in our mouth. That is good eating.
That's wonderful. That is absolutely wonderful. And it makes that meal so much better. Not to mention the community that you develop even within your own family by gardening. So it's not too late, even in summer, to start a late summer garden and into an early fall garden. There's things that grow at different times of the year and so many different ways to get resources to help you, regardless of where your community is, of what you can grow in your area.
I want to take just a moment here in the couple of minutes we have left in the show to run through these seasons one more time and ask you about some of the main problems that people have during these seasons and what foods will help them. Springtime, I mentioned allergies. Are there allergy-fighting foods out there?
Well, there's inflammation-fighting foods, and believe it or not, those greens that we were talking about can be really helpful. Lots of greens, spinach and even cabbage and broccoli. Those are really helpful in the season, and to drink plenty of water to flush the system out.
Right.
Go ahead.
I was moving into the summertime. Sunburn is a lot of problem with people, and they're all afraid of the sun, but the sun's good for you.
The sun is very good for us in small amounts, absolutely, but we look for more cooling foods in summertime, so that's going to be mint and making like mint teas and berries and tomatoes. And going for the abundance of color foods in the summertime is very helpful and to help keep us cooler.
And healthy skin, of course, is a lot more resilient against sunshine, too, and burning. So make that skin healthy. The autumn time, here we come. Like you mentioned colds and flus.
Right.
What powerful, potent foods can we put in there to help us against colds and flu?
That's when we look to the beta carotene, and we look to foods that have the high orange content to it, like sweet potatoes and carrots and pumpkin. And then, of course, nuts and seeds that have the omega-3 fatty acids to help build our immune system. So that's kind of a wonderful treat that just sort of naturally changes as we get into the fall months and into the winter months. And those store well, too. So your tubers can be used into fall and to winter and the nuts and seeds.
And very quickly, winter time, we are sedentary. We should be doing what with our foods?
With the winter time, we need to be eating a little less because we're not burning calories as efficiently. It's darker. We're having more downtime. And that is the time that you eat food that takes longer to grow because the longer the growth, the more heat is in the food. So potatoes and things, again, corn, garlic, things that take a while to grow. And then if you do eat animal, it's probably more helpful to eat animal flesh in the winter than it is in the spring, summer, and fall.
Okay, very good. Pam, are there some websites that people can go to help them along this journey?
There really are. A couple of them that I like. One is called deliciousliving.com. That has some really interesting information about seasonal eating. And then there's one that I like, too, called pickyourown.org. And that kind of gives you an idea of what's in season in your part of the country.
All right. Well, this is very, very important for us to know because God has provided for us even though we may not have known it. Unfortunately, Pam, we're not talking about the standard American diet, are we?
No, we're not. We're really not. And it doesn't have to be that way. You know, no matter, even if you just have an apartment, you could get a big pot and put something out there this summer and grow some mint or grow a tomato plant or, you know, go together with a neighborhood with the idea of building that community and see if someone in the neighborhood maybe has a few extra yards of ground that you could come together and plant something.
All right. What a wonderful world this would be if everyone was gardening and eating locally and the environment would be helped, our health would be helped, our brains would think clearer. What's good for the body is good for the brain because the brain is like part of the body. We forget that sometimes. Very important stuff. Simple Solutions is a production of comeandreason.com and airs each week on this station. Share your questions and concerns online at comeandreason.com. And then join Dr. Timothy Jennings and his guests right here as we search for the Bible-based simple solutions God has in mind for us today. Good stuff. the music down. There it goes. Okay, that, I love that music. We had a little bit too much of it there. This is the Simple Solutions Halftime Show. I'm Charles Mills here with Pam Kelly, registered dietitian and nutrition therapist. Pam, tell us about you. I like talking about our guests during the halftime show personally. Have you always been interested in nutrition? Have you always been a crusader for seasonal foods?
I have. Even when I was a child, my father had a friend that gave us children some plastic food models. And I was fascinated by them, you know, little containers of milk and green beans and potatoes, just plastic food. And I loved them. I really did. And from that time on, I really knew that that was something I was interested in. So I believe we are what we eat. And I know that I feel so much better when I take care of myself. And I've certainly raised my family that way. And I was raised that way. And I'm kind of shocked sometimes when I see people mindlessly put things in their mouth that we know are not good for us, and then are willing to feel bad, you know, on purpose.
Yeah. That's an interesting point, because you make the case, you've been on the show before, you make the case, and so does Dr. Jennings, and so does the medical professionals we talk to, that we're more in control of our health than we think we are. Am I right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have to be. We're the steward of our body and our souls. We are. And we know that. And it's a responsibility that a lot of people somehow have forgotten to take seriously. So I tell my clients that come in to see me that first thing, that you are the steward of this body you've been given. And it's your responsibility to do what you can to feel the best that you can. And I'm going to give you some ideas and some tips to do that. But it's ultimately up to the individual, you know, to make those choices.
I guess we can say then, because I think the latest statistic I've heard from some of our professionals here is anywhere from 94 to 97% of the illnesses from which we suffer as a society are the result of lifestyle. 94 to 97%, that means that 94 to 97% of the times you go to the doctor, the times you take medicine, the times you go to the hospital, those are because of things we're doing to ourselves. And that can hit pretty hard to some people, Pam.
It's true. And it's that stopping for just a minute and being mindful about the choices we make. You know, we make choices in society and for other people better than we make choices even for our own selves. So, you know, it's the ultimate responsibility to stop for a moment and think, is this really what I need? And to understand that the purpose of food really is fuel for the body, fuel for the body so that we can go do the work that we're supposed to do.
On the way to the grocery store here in Berkeley Springs, West Virginia, where I live, I pass by a fast food restaurant, and there's always a line of cars there and always a crowded lobby of people in there. And I just want to stop my car, and I want to grab Pam Kelly, and I want to run in there like we're going in to save some hostages and try to bring them back to health. Sometimes I wonder how we should do that. Maybe we should talk about that on the show, how we can help our neighbors, how we can help ourselves keep from being that way. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Chuck Colson. I'm always amazed at how God uses each of us to further his kingdom. I remember so well the events that led to my conversion. Who could have imagined that a man with such power and success and worldly influence needed a savior? I couldn't have imagined it until God showed me I did. But how about you? Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? God created you for a specific reason, and if you're sensing he's drawing you closer to him, ask him for the salvation and healing that you need. There isn't a day that goes by that I don't thank God for my conversion, and I consider myself truly blessed to be part of the life-changing work God has called me to do through Prison Fellowship. If you want to experience that same peace that I've come to know, call me or contact this station. There's someone waiting to pray with you for the forgiveness of your sins and welcome you to peace with God.
I was lucky growing up. I had a strong family and support system to tell me that I could be somebody, that I could do something important after high school. But as I got ready to graduate, I thought, what about other kids who don't have that kind of support? Hi, I'm Regina Grant. I'm 19 years old and a member of the Omaha Nation. I decided to start a mentoring program for Native students. We help kids see that a college education is something they can achieve and be successful in. We also teach them about their Native heritage and where they come from. The young people who volunteer to be mentors in our program commit just 1 hour a week of their time. It's not much time, but it really makes a difference. Couldn't you find 1 hour a week to volunteer in something you believe in? So many people in every community need our help. Get out and live. Volunteer.
Brought to you by the Hitachi Foundation's Yoshiyama Award for Exemplary Service to the Community and this station.
Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Do you long for that peace in your life? Let's return to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author, Dr. Timothy Jennings.
Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. Dr. Jennings has sent a wonderful guest for us to talk to today. Pam Kelly is a registered dietitian and nutrition therapist. She's headquartered in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Before we go any further, a nutrition therapist, how do you, I've heard of physical therapists and occupational therapists. What is a nutrition therapist, Pam?
Well, a nutrition therapist just means that a lot of times people's relationship with food is pretty complicated, either by the way they were raised or maybe they didn't have access to food when they were younger and they use food for stress relief, or they, you know, use food to make them happy if they're lonely. So a lot of people use food in ways other than just to nourish the body. And that's a real problem. Probably one of the reasons why we have such an obesity problem in this country. And it's that overstimulation of the taste buds and pleasure with food that, you know, we try to rein back and reteach them to eat. So a little bit different than just giving someone a meal plan and saying, you know, eat this.
So there can be what I would call emotional obesity in this country?
Yes. Yes, I see it all the time. My clients keep food diaries for me, and one of the things I work on is hunger and fullness, because, you know, we really should be attracted to food when it's time to eat, which means we should be hungry. And then when we stop eating, we should be no longer hungry. And notice I didn't say full or stuffed, just no longer hungry. Food should begin to lose that, you know, kind of that wonderful flavor it has in the first bite or two, and then you're about finished. So most people eat till all the food is gone, you know, and that's not the way that we were designed to be eating our food.
We can certainly identify with that. If someone brings you a steaming bowl of angel hair pasta with marinara sauce on it when you go to like the Olive Garden,
right. Oh,
that looks good. After you've eaten a couple of those and someone brings you another bowl, that same food
actually
turns your stomach.
It's true. It's called the law of diminishing return. And it's like that with anything. You know, the first few bites of chocolate are wonderful, but if you keep eating it, it's not about the taste of the chocolate anymore. It's about, you know, just eating something that your body didn't really need. So
and
most people don't overeat
subject,
broccoli.
No. And before we leave this subject, this ability for the body to become full or to be satisfied, is this dependent on the kind of food we're eating?
Not necessarily. I will say that things like broccoli and spinach and those high water content foods, you can really consume quite a bit of those because there's really not that much to them. But when you think of heavier foods and volume and weight of food, you know, when you feel the weight of the food in your tummy, that's time to back up. And, you know, other cultures do that automatically. But a lot of us weren't taught to do that here. You know, a lot of us had parents that made us clean our plate or said, you know, we're trying to help the starving people in another country by eating our food. And that's really not the way we're helping other countries.
Whenever my folks would pull that on me, I'd say, okay, get a box. Let's send it to them. They did not appreciate that. Okay, we're talking with Pam Kelly, registered dietitian. Local food. I'm a big fan of local food, as you are. Now, when you buy local, does that guarantee that you're also buying the most healthy food available to you?
Well, not necessarily, and that's a really good question. You know, the organic food movement, which is pretty strong in this country, has changed in the last several years because, you know, when there's more interest in a food from consumer, big business usually tries to get behind that. And so some of the organic foods probably are not as clean, quote unquote, as they were probably 10 or 15 years ago. So given the choice, I would always suggest that we buy local first and support our local farmers to encourage them to be able to make a living within our own community, and then organic after that. But organic, you know, again, organic food could be coming from 1,500 miles away or from another country. So, you know, we've got to think about the impact it has on our environment when we make these decisions.
When we are shopping, if we happen to move to Alaska, and I always, whenever we do a show like this, we usually have a caller call in that is like the only person on earth that has this particular problem, and so there's really no precedent to talk to them about it. But I want to ask you something that may not have a precedent, I'm not sure. if we have someone living in Alaska and calls, you know, hey, things don't grow here anytime. I live on the edge of the Arctic Circle. What am I supposed to do? Should that person buy foods that are in season someplace else at that time? In other words, if it's summertime in the Arctic Circle, should they be buying the same foods that we're eating in summertime in West Virginia?
Well, you know, you could have the same question about people that live in South Africa or people who live in northern Russia. So you should eat the food that grows within your own environment. So they have a very high fish diet. They have a lot of omega-3s. And I think that there's a type of seaweed that they have in their diet, too, that they eat quite a lot of. And, you know, you got me on the spot on the typical Alaskan diet or Arctic Circle diet.
Walrus.
But, again, it's the same thing. People in South America eat a lot more papaya than we do. They eat a lot more kiwi. In Jamaica and the Caribbean areas, they do a lot more chicken, and they do a lot of a different type of green than we have here. So, you know, if you think about the Mediterranean area with the olive oil and all of that, we can pick and choose the things from other cultures that we find to be healthiest. But ultimately, I think that probably one of the best things that we can do for the community in general is to support whatever's growing around the area that we live.
Okay. All right. So when you move to a new area, listener, you look around and say, well, what grows here? What's available here locally? And I guess, unless you're in extreme, if you're in a cabin someplace at the North Pole, that may not be working out so much. But, you know, under reasonable places, if food can be manufactured or grown there, that's the food you should be eating. In other words, it may not be the same as you were getting it at home in America. But when in Rome, absolutely. Okay, are there any misconceptions, Pam, about health and food that you've run into? People come in and say, well, I heard this was good for me, or I heard this wasn't good for me. Have you had any misconceptions brought to you?
Yeah, I have. Recently, there's been a real push to do gluten-free foods, and I even contacted a couple doctors about this recently, because when you manipulate a food, it means it's going to cost more. And, you know, there are people who have a problem digesting the gluten from a grain, and they simply can't break it down. It causes them severe stomach distress and problems, and it's called celiac sprue. And those people simply can't tolerate gluten. But there's other people who are gluten sensitive, and they have some stomach upset, so they stay away from wheat products. Well, now there's a whole movement to remove gluten from your foods, and I see people spending an enormous amount of money on foods that it's just not necessary for them to do that. So, you know, we get on bandwagons, like the low-carbohydrate bandwagon was a few years ago.
And the Bran, back in the 1970s, I don't know if you were around at that time, Pam, but Bran was the big thing. And the problem with eating Bran, which has been separated from the source of Bran, is you're not getting the entire package. There's a nutritional package. God put foods together a certain way for a reason.
Absolutely.
And if you start what Campbell in the China study calls scientific reductionism, you start removing elements of foods and selling them separately, you're not getting the full potential. Am I on the right track here?
You are. You're right on. Right on it. So, right. You know, the body has different ways of handling different nutrients. And it's just like we were talking about detoxing earlier. You know, our miraculous bodies were designed with its own detox system, which is skin for perspiring and a liver to detox things out of our body. So, you know, we have to trust the miracle of what we have and then find ways to protect it as much as possible and not fall prey to the feeding frenzy that can happen when we eat a lot of really processed, highly salted, highly fattened foods.
Which brings me right back to the scene I see when I go past that fast food restaurant. Pam, are you telling me there's a feeding frenzy happening there?
Yeah, there is. There really is, because those particular foods have such sharp flavors and such predictable flavors that you can go to any fast food restaurant and, you know, any one of them, anywhere across the country or even in Europe for that matter, and it's going to taste the same, and you can depend on that. So
and foods just don't do that. No, foods naturally don't do that. There's variations of
there
that
flavor. There you go. Foods naturally do not do that. So people tend to eat those foods very fast, and they're usually not satisfied with them. And so there's a tendency to overeat. You know, we were talking about eating till you're no longer full. That's something you normally don't see someone do if they're sitting with a plate of French fries. They're going to eat them all. You know, they're going to eat them all. Yeah. So, and it's not that those foods don't fit on occasion. There's nothing wrong with when you're traveling or, you know, it's a convenient stop to you to make on an otherwise healthy, fresh diet that you do stop and get something like that on occasion. It's just the ones who are doing it day after day after day after day.
What was that? Wasn't there a guy that did that? He made a documentary about that.
He did. Supersize Me.
Supersize Me, that's right.
Yeah. Yes, and he lived on it. And it did change his whole blood profile. It changed his relationship with food, too. He found himself eating faster and faster and faster. The pleasure center of the mouth is a really powerful thing. It's a very powerful thing. And so, you know, if you're putting something in it that has a real extreme sharp taste to it, you are kind of prone to want that taste. And again, you know, I'll say that if you've been eating that way, it takes real effort to adjust to eating more broccoli and asparagus and spinach and tomatoes and the fresh foods. But it's certainly worth the effort.
And we talked about this during the break, that the flavor that we often have at these fast food restaurants is a produced flavor. I was talking to someone who had a test, and they put this flavor on a small piece of cardboard, and that person thought for sure that she was eating a French fry.
Right.
And it was a piece of cardboard with that flavor. So that flavor is a chemical flavor. It's a produced flavor. So when you enjoy that French fry in San Francisco and it tastes just like the one in London, it's the same chemical. That's what you're eating, the same chemical. Am I right here?
Yeah, that's very true. It's very true. And there's nothing wrong with making French fries from home if you want to, you know.
Absolutely.
In fact, I think that's a nice recommendation, is if you want junk food, you have to make it yourself. You know, peel the potato and bake them in the oven and, you know, form your own burgers or whatever it is that you're going to do. But make it yourself, and it's going to be a much healthier product. And, of course, that brings people together when you cook, too. And that's part of this whole message, is real food and the community of it and the support of the local environment and the support of each other by eating this way is what we're trying to encourage.
I have a wonderful idea. Okay, listener, here we go. I want, listener, from now on, you to have one meal a week. I want you to call it the Pam Kelly junk food meal, okay? And I want you to invite your friends over, you know, rent a DVD if you want to, and make your own junk food. Make that French fry, but make it like she says, cut it up, put it in the oven, bake it. Make that pizza, you know, hold the cheese down a little bit, put some more fruits and vegetables on there, and make your own junk food. And invite your friends over. Pam, is that a good idea?
I like it. I like it a lot.
All right. We want to open our phone lines right now for the remainder of the program, just in case you have a question for Pam. Here's the number, 800-775-4673. That's 800-775-4673. 7373. And we'll be happy to bring you on the air, and you can ask your question to Pam about her new exciting junk food menu that, no, I'm just kidding, that she has available for all of us. You know, how healthy would it be if we were doing that? We have everybody eating locally, going to your next door neighbor and buying the vegetables and things from there, and then having junk foods a la Pam. This is very good.
I like this
800,
idea.
800-775-4673. We'll take a short break. When we come back, more with Pam Kelly, registered dietitian and nutrition therapist. By the way, if you want to hear this program again and share it with other people, you can get that from the commonreason.com website. Also on that website is Dr. Jennings' blog. Fascinating stuff. Program archives, all of our programs we've done are there available to you. Resources such as his book, Could It Be This Simple? And if you're a Facebooker, check us out at Come and Reason. Become a fan. We'd love to have you join us. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Too many Christians don't know the truth about dinosaurs, but Christian scientist Dr. Elaine Graham Kennedy is out to change that. Dr. Kennedy is a research scientist who has done field work at dig sites in remote places like Patagonia. She has spent her life studying dinosaurs. And now she has published a remarkable book called Dinosaurs, published by Pacific Press, that is both scientifically based and biblically sound. It answers the questions many Christians ask. Did dinosaurs really live? Are dinosaur bones fake? Who made the dinosaurs? What happened to them? And were dinosaurs on Noah's Ark? Dr. Kennedy's book, Dinosaurs, is filled with interesting facts, photographs, and colorful charts. It is a must for every Christian home and perfect for reading with your kids. To get a copy, visit www.pacificpress.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
Ah, not again. What happened, Sue?
Ruth, I keep making the same mistakes over and over. This headache's making me crazy. I just can't stay focused. Do you have any aspirin?
You finished the bottle last week. You've been getting these headaches a lot lately. Are you getting them at home, too?
Actually, I have. The other night, I could barely make the kids dinner and help them with their homework. The throbbing pain made me sick to my stomach.
That doesn't sound like an ordinary headache.
I thought maybe I was having sinus headaches. The doctor said it's probably just related to stress.
You could be having migraines, Sue. My sister Karen was having lots of headaches. She finally was diagnosed with migraines and got treatment. She's doing much better now.
Treatment for migraines?
Absolutely. She takes a medication when she feels a migraine coming on, but there are ways to prevent them, too. Go see your doctor again and ask about migraines.
I really have to. Any more mistakes and I'll have a much bigger problem, like finding a new job.
Migraine. The pain is real. So is the treatment. Get diagnosed. For more information, call the National Headache Foundation at 1-888-NHF-5552.
Phone lines are open. I can't talk. 800-775-4673 is the phone number if you have a question or comment, or you may want to just listen. And I'm enjoying listening to Pam Kelly today. She's a registered dietitian and nutrition therapist, and she's telling us how to live healthy and eat healthy for our bodies and for our brains. Okay, Pam, I have to ask you this because I'm sure there's a listener saying, you know, wait a minute. If I go to all these good local fruits and vegetables and nuts and grains and whole grains and whole foods and everything like that, aren't I missing something that I need from a dead carcass?
Not necessarily, because the essential means that the body can't make it itself. And so the essential vitamins and minerals, and those are the ones we talk about all the time that you find in the dark leafy greens, the folic acid and calcium and lycopene in the dark orange. If you get the colored fruits and vegetables and you're really getting a variety, and that's the key, a variety, you'll get what your body needs. And that does include nuts and seeds and beans as well. So it's not necessary to eat meat in order to get the nutrients that our body needs, but it takes discipline and it takes a focused plan. And that's where a lot of people, I think, give up. They think it's too much trouble.
All right. Well, let's spend the remainder of the program then on that subject, Pam. The preparation of healthy foods. You go into a market and it looks so beautiful and you load your cart up and it looks so great. You bring it home and put it on the counter. Then what? What do you do with all that good food? You can't eat it raw, or should you?
You can eat some things raw, but if you have the availability to stop by a farmer's market or even into your grocery store to pick up local produce, and you can go in a couple of times a week, it's a good idea to do that. And, you know, in Europe, they do that. They shop sometimes every day and just pick up what they want for a meal or two. They don't go buy, you know, enough groceries to last for 2 or 3 weeks. So by doing that, it allows you to have them fresh and available and not worrying about it spoiling quite so quickly.
True.
The other thing is you can wash or blanch your vegetables and dry them off with paper towels and put them in the freezer so that you've got them available for later use. And another wonderful fun thing I love to do in the summer is make summer soup. So, you know, you can cook like the spinach or some of the leafy greens, and the water that you cook it in makes an awesome broth for you to begin to make a soup with. So there's so many different ways that you can take those vegetables. I know, I'm making myself hungry. That you can take these things and be creative and do things that you know are going to be good for you and your family.
That brings us to an important point, Pam. Some people saying, you know, you're talking about cooking these fruits and vegetables. They don't make me hungry. Do your taste buds actually change when you start making the transition to better healthy foods?
They do change. And I think a lot of people actually have an epiphany when they begin eating truly nutrient-rich, real food. It takes less of that food for them to be satisfied. We don't need to be eating as much as we've been eating. I mean, we simply don't. And so it takes a while for your taste buds to adapt and for the enzymes in your stomach to adapt to changing your eating habits. And sometimes tummy aches happen at first, a little bit of bloating when you change and start eating more fruits and vegetables, but your system will adapt to that much easier and quicker than it had to adapt to eating fast food or a lot of processed food.
Pam, have you ever tried to eat just a little bit of quinoa?
Oh,
you
I love quinoa.
You can't do it. It's good stuff.
It's
you just sort
great
of stuff,
stuff
yourself with that.
Yum. It's very
good
stuff.
It's like the
stuff.
Peanuts.
It is.
Or
it's
potato
yummy.
Chips.
And you can mix it with so many different things, too. You know, there's a lot of different places on our tongue that taste bitter, sweet, salty, tangy. And so there's ways to combine even your fruits and vegetables together to get that wonderful full flavor out of food so that you do feel satisfied. You know, and again, just remembering that the point is to eat until you're no longer hungry, not till you're stuffed.
All right. Take quinoa, add some peas to it, add some little pieces of tofu, maybe stir in a little bit of red pepper and then put it into a pan with some water and sort of heat it up, and oh my goodness, away you're off of the races. All right, so the food preparation will come. You can get cookbooks on this stuff. You can buy locally. You buy the good stuff. Is it better for someone, and this, I probably are going to answer the question myself, do some people do better just going cold turkey into this healthy food, or should we transition in there? How's the best way to move from unhealthy to healthy eating?
It depends on the person, and it depends on their motivation, and especially if they've been the kind of person who's tried a lot of diets and they're motivated by, like, I want to lose weight or something. Usually those things fail. You've got to look at the big picture, and the ultimate goal would be to feel good and be as healthy as possible. And so for some people, that might be transitioning off of fast food to just, you know, no more than once a week. It might be going meal by meal. Maybe they start doing a whole grain cereal mixed with fresh berries in the morning and a tofu wrap for lunch, and then maybe having a regular dinner and, you know, incorporate it meal by meal or day by day. Sometimes that works better. Other people might be better just putting their hands down, saying, okay, this is it. This is the change we're going to make. And talk to the family and explain what you're going to do, because kids don't necessarily like a lot of vegetables. And, you know, it can be a hardship when you're motivated to do something and the rest of the family isn't. I guess that's a subject in itself.
It certainly is. It certainly is. We'll have you back and talk about that alone. That's an excellent thing. Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because I'm one of those all or nothing kind of people. Maybe you are too, Pam. Mm-hmm. If something is good for me, I will just simply do it. I'll stop doing the bad thing. I'll start doing the good thing. But some people have a struggle with that. And the good news is, and I want to share this with our listeners, and I'm sure you have found this out with the people that you do nutrition therapy with, is as they get into it, some changes start to take place in their bodies and their minds, right?
Absolutely. Clarity, energy, and then a gradual weight loss if that's something that the body needed to do anyway. I mean, even with it being unintentional. And I do think it's important that overall health be the motivator, not the ego thinking, you know, I need to be thin. I think it's, if you try to use health as your main motivator, it's much easier to put things in place because we just want to feel good. I think that's what all of us want. We just want to feel good.
Yeah, the health is the motivator. And the good news is, listener, as you concentrate on health, you'll start looking better. It just happens.
It does happen.
The body does what it needs to do to be healthy. And health is good looking. Health is sexy. Am I right, Pam?
It is. Yeah. Someone made a comment one time, and it was a terrible thing to say, but it was true, that they were describing someone, and they said, you know, he's got kind of that fast food look about him. And there, it's a terrible thing to say, but yet, you know, when somebody's not getting fresh fruits and vegetables and grains and drinking water, and, you know, you can just tell. So I just can't encourage people enough to really stop and really think about the choices that they're making and what kind of gradual changes could they move forward in. My gosh, spring and summer are a perfect time for all of us to look at what we're eating and what kind of gradual changes could we make to feel better.
Absolutely. Well, Pam, you mentioned a couple of websites earlier in the show. Would you share those with us? Also, your own personal website. We need to hear about that, too.
Yes. There's a website that I found called pickyourown.org. And on that website, it will help direct you to local fresh fruits and vegetables in your area, and then some ideas on how to cook and prepare those foods. There's another one called deliciousliving.com. And it's the same thing. They talk about ways to prepare fresh fruits and vegetables and some of the nutrient content. And there's another one called fieldtoplate.com. And that's kind of a fun one as well. Now, mine is PamelaKellyNutrition.com. And the benefit of looking at that for our listeners would be just to see me and just know a little bit more about me.
All right. Well, listener, I invite you to go to those websites and just check it out. You got to start sometime, listener. You might as well start now. Like Pam said, this is the perfect time of the year to start that transition. And that you may be the kind that can just start it and jump right into it and don't look back. Some of you may say, okay, let me try this for a couple meals every week and let me expand on this. Let me start a little walking program, get a little bit more water going here. Maybe turn the television off earlier in the evening, get a little bit more sleep. All of these things, not just one, but all of these things are necessary for good body health and for good brain health. Dr. Jennings talks about that all the time on this program, how the health of our brain really impacts the health of our body and vice versa. Am I on the right track here, Pam?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, very good. Well, I want to thank you, Pam Kelly, registered dietitian and nutrition therapist, for being our guest today. Always a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you, Pam.
I enjoyed it very much. Thank you.
And listener, here's the website I want you to go visit, comeandreason.com. You can ask a question for a future program. Perhaps we'll have Pam back. Well, I know we will, but you can have a question waiting for her when she comes. Those questions can be sent to radio@comeandreason.com. Also at comeandreason.com is Dr. Jennings' blog. If you have read that, you know how entertaining and insightful it is. Amazing stuff. Also, program archive. You can listen to Pam's program we just did today. Share it with someone else. Have them listen to it that needs to hear it. Also, other programs, resources. Could It Be This Simple? Dr. Jennings' wonderful book I recommend for every person out there. And also, if you are a Facebooker, stop by Come and Reason to become a fan. Until next week, this is Charles Mills with Dr. Jennings and his guests, inviting you to apply the simple solutions God placed in your heart today. Goodbye, everyone.
Simple Solutions is a production of Life Talk Radio and Dr. Timothy Jennings, and is made possible by your generous support. For more information, visit www.comeandreason.com.